You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Didn't see it coming. I actually, as I saw that on the list, I'm like, oh, good. But I was kind of skimming through.
Well,
there, I could have chosen so many freaking movies. It's too many to choose from. I almost went with War Games.
Ooh, that would have been great.
I was.
But
torn.
I'm afraid that's probably on the 80s essential list. We haven't talked about that yet.
Yeah,
so I was doing like Suzanne. I was kind of thinking the same thing. Like, I don't want to pick an episode or a TV or a movie that's going to be on your essential 80s movies list.
Yeah, well, I wasn't. I'm not really sweating big ones that. Are still to come. Yeah, you know. So.
All right. So we're adding Rose. Looks like.
By the way, I was thinking of doing The Princess Bride, which is also Rob Reiner.
Oh, that's a good one.
And has a lot of, you know, a couple of the same cast members, or at least Christopher Guest, I think, has a huge role in that. So, so there's your tie-in.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, Rose.
Hi there.
Rose.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can hear you.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right. Just making sure. Those are the speakers off, so I don't know what that means.
So you are joining us right at the midpoint. It's awesome because what we did was we recorded Suzanne's pick and Scott's pick. So we're just about to do mine, and then if you have one, you can go.
Oh, cool. That's great. This is much better now. I have the actual volume speaker on, whatever the hell that means.
Okay. So do you have a pick?
I do.
Did you want to go first, or did you want me to go and then you go? Well, what we've been doing is I've been setting a timer for 20 minutes, and then we wrap it up after 20 minutes.
Okay.
Is it Airplane? Is it Scarface?
We know it's not Scarface.
You know, oh my God, I saw that movie once, and I thought, Jesus, here's a bar of soap. Wash your fucking mouth out. Anyway, no.
And I know you feel the same way about Goodfellas too, so I know it's not that.
No, it's pretty, well, I don't want to say it's obscure, but it actually might be, because you know me. Come on now.
Okay.
It's me we're talking.
So, like I said, did you want to go or did you want me to go?
I'll let you go to see how it's done, especially okay. If I have to like go myself.
Yeah, I mean, well, what we've been doing is we run the, you know, whoever's introing the movie is basically kind of running the episode, so doing the intro and the outro stuff.
Okay.
All right. Let me just make sure I'm recording again. What did I do? I clicked the wrong thing. Darn it.
We have redundancy. I am recording.
And what I've been doing is I've been stopping in between each one. That way it's easier to edit.
Good.
I have my moments.
Okay.
All right, let me start this.
This is 80 something podcast.
Banzai!
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 Hey, where's the meat? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Be it to each other.
Party on, dudes!
Hey, this is the Banzai Retro Club. I am Dave. Online, I have got Rose.
Hey.
Suzanne.
Hi.
Scott.
What?
What do you mean, what? Dude, you gotta give me a little more than what.
Hello, everybody.
There we go. Better.
What?
What?
W-U-T. What?
What? Dude. Where? That was, Barbarino used to do that.
Yeah. Give me drugs. Give me drugs.
Where?
Exactly. Up your nose with a rubber hose. All right. So, what we're doing, dear listener, is we are continuing our saga. And what we're doing is each one of the hosts are coming to the table. We have a movie that we want to talk about. And yay, it's my turn. What we're doing is just kind of highlighting a movie that we want to talk about that's in our three decades that we cover, 70s, 80s, 90s. So it's been a lot of fun so far on the evening, you know, as we've gone. The way that we're going to be posting this, I haven't decided yet. But so I don't know which one you're going to hear first, which you're going to hear second or third, et cetera, et cetera. But we've already had great entries from Scott and Suzanne. So Rose is going to be coming up. But my pick right now, and actually the two of them did something where they were actually trying to do a little hint to see if the rest of us would be able to guess.
Did you like that?
Yeah. So let me do that to you. He saved every one of us.
Oh, it's sounding familiar.
Mm-mm. No? Drawing a blank. And it's so weird because when we did that with the other two, same thing.
Road Warrior.
It was like crickets.
Okay.
No. Flash Gordon, 1980.
Oh, no way.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's a Queen song. Good
one. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
He saved every one of us.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go. Perfect.
Oh, man. I wish I'm going to have to turn my brother on to this episode because he was a huge Flash Gordon movie fan. So.
It was campy in such a good way.
So
cheesy. Unbelievably cheesy, but, and, you know, once again, very fun.
Clytus, I'm bored. What plaything can you offer me today?
An obscure body in the SK system, Your Majesty. The inhabitants refer to it as the planet Earth.
I like to play with things a while before annihilation. Pathetic Earthlings! Who can save you now? Flash! In the Imperial Vortex. Flash! Ah! You saved everyone!
Remove the Earthwoman. Prepare her for our pleasure.
Flash! Ah!
Don't kill him yet, Father. I warned him.
He's a miracle man.
Go, Flash, go!
So this starred Sam J. Jones as Flash Gordon. You had Melody Anderson as Dale Arden. Max von Sydow as the Emperor Ming. It was just so much fun. Timothy Dalton was even in this thing as Prince Baron. There's so many great, iconic parts of this movie that I just loved, and I've seen this so many damn times. My favorite is Prince Voltan, who's the Hawkman. He's like the leader of the Hawkmen. And then there's even gross parts about it where you have like Clytus where his eyes are kind of popping out and kind
Dude,
of
no, that was the part that freaked me out the most.
That kind of sticks really, with you. That, totally sticks
that,
with
that
you.
That one totally freaked that scene freaks yes. me out. Really. Like it gave me like nightmares and stuff. That one little scene.
I can
we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, I can imagine how that would do that.
Oh,
I mean, and you had such a dick of an Emperor Ming, you know, even like torturing his daughter in order to find Flash Gordon. And, you know, he's like, you know, bring out the ball worms and whatever the hell that is. And she's like, that's the ball worms. And it was just terror. So great things. I could go scene to scene to scene. You know, there's even the one where, in the tree area, I forgot what the guy's called, but where Prince Baron was in charge, the treetop guys, there was one where they all had to stick their hand inside a stump, and then like the creature, you know, they had to avoid getting stung by the creature, and if you get stung, then you just ask to get, you know, killed, because otherwise you'd go insane. So many great things. One of the cheesiest parts of the movie, which I think is fun to watch, is when they're in the Grand Court and you have Flash holding off all the guards and he's playing mm-hmm. football with them. He's actually playing football and he's throwing, you know, these balls to like hit them and knock them down. And, you know, the whole time Clytus is there trying to teach his these aliens how to play football so that they can try to get Gordon into submission. So totally fun, totally cheesy, probably not the best acting in the world, but it had a kick-ass soundtrack. And just for the comic book geek boy that I was, this was absolutely wonderful. Suzanne, did you have a relationship with this movie at all?
I have never seen a lick of this movie
wow.
other than the video for the song.
Okay. Okay.
They used to play on MTV that Freddie Mercury sang, which is why I could, like, you know, contribute the harmonies to the.
It is so iconic of a song. I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's a cool song. But other than that, I don't know. It just seemed like so cartoony that it wasn't a big draw for me, I guess.
Okay.
But I can kind of get it as far as, you know, campy fun. It just, I guess at the time was not really my, you know, what I was looking for at the time. No. And I don't know. What year was that?
1980.
Wow.
Yep.
All right. So I was in high school. Yes. Yeah, so I was in like 10th grade. I don't know. Just never got around to seeing it, I guess.
You need to hang out with more geeky friends. You're
maybe. I mean, I had a lot of geeky. Well, actually, those were the years like I was trying to be one of the burnout kids. So maybe that was it. I didn't have my geeky friends came later.
Okay.
And it became a little cooler to be geeky by the time I got to like 11th or 12th grade.
Okay.
So you were still Lindsay at this time?
Yes, exactly. Right, 1980. That was the
Freaks
the
and Geeks
year
reference.
Show.
Yeah.
Bam.
Right. So, I wish I had more to contribute on this one, but other than the music, I mean, I'm not even that familiar with the original, like, black and white series, other than, you know, hey, we're moving into the space age, so let's do it. Right? Am I remembering correctly? Flash Gordon was kind of, like, out there in a rocket?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Totally. Okay. I remember watching it as a kid. Now, of course, it was reruns because it's black and white. I'm not that old to where everything was black and white. But, I remember watching it at, like, I think it was, like, lunchtime on WGN in Chicago after I come home from, like, probably kindergarten or first grade, the original, you know, the Flash Gordon series. And I was kind of excited about it when it came out as a movie. And it was, I liked it. I liked it.
Okay.
But there were some parts that kind of freaked me out. And then there was just some parts that were like really over the top cheese.
Sure. There definitely was.
Like over the top cheese.
All right. Are you guys going to explain to me what ball worms are? Because I'm a little curious.
I don't know what ball worms are.
I don't know either. Emperor Ming, he's got his, they're torturing his daughter, who's Princess Aura, and she's on this table and she's being basically, you know, whipped, you know, with her bare back. And, you know, they're trying to get more information from her because she's basically been believed to be a traitor to the Emperor, and helped Flash Gordon get away. And so they're trying to have her confess. She's not confessing. And there's this thing that, Ming says something about, you know, give her to the ball worms or bring the ball worms or something like that. And all of a sudden it's like this sheer terror in her voice. Like, oh my God, you know, and no, they never explain what that is, but you just know shit's about to get really bad. You know, if it wasn't bad enough, but it's going to get really bad. It's kind of like what I like to think of. Like if you're ever watching, Return of the Jedi and the part where they're like explaining, you know, we're going to throw you in this pit. And it's like Han Solo is going, oh, that doesn't sound so bad. And they'd be like, oh, are you going to be digested for like 1,000 years? And it's like, okay, that sounds bad now. So it's kind
of
like
Wrath of Khan when they put that thing in his ear and it's like they explain that's going to like in his brain or something.
Good right. One. So yeah, you know, something's bad's already happening, but now we're going to kick it up a notch. And that's basically whatever the ball worms are going to be.
Or
was
the
that.
Door, is it B-O-R-E? Four worms?
I could have been.
Okay, just wondering.
Yeah, I never, you know, took that time to, like, bizarre. Look it up to figure out.
Okay, I get it.
Yep.
Your lover, Barin, is harboring Gordon in Aboria, is he not?
No!
This lying is such a waste of time!
You left with a pilot and returned alone. Wasn't he Gordon in disguise?
No!
Who do you imagine you're protecting? The Imperial surgeon who revived Gordon in his tomb? Another lover of yours?
Your jealousy of me has made you mad!
Seize the Imperial surgeon on suspicion of treason.
You're mad!
Prepare for torture!
Confess, and we won't hurt you anymore. We don't like doing this at all.
Never!
Bring me the boar worms.
No! Not the ball worms! I'm a princess of the blood, Clytus. My father will have your head for this. I swear, he'll execute your whole perverted secret police force. I demand to see him!
With pleasure.
Father.
The traitor is close to confession, Your Majesty. Should we stop the torture?
No.
Father! Damn you, Father!
So, Rose, what about you? Have you watched Flash Gordon?
Hi.
Hi.
I would think if you were a guy, you'd be concerned about ball worms, but that's just me. I don't...
I took medication. They cleared right up. It's all good.
Yeah. Well, I have a cream for that.
That was a cream.
That's a cod piece.
I had a cod piece. Yeah.
That's what happens if you wear the cod piece too long.
Exactly.
All right.
Oh, wow.
That escalated quickly.
Everything goes back to cod pieces.
We have to relate everything back somehow. Yes.
Every episode has got to be a cod piece reference now.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to. So let's see. Fast forward. No, that's wrong. time to the 80s. I didn't actually see the movie when it came out.
Hello, listener. I am sorry for this interruption into our conversation. We had a slight auditory issue with the recording of Rose's commentary during this episode of Flash Gordon, and also with her follow-up discussion. We do apologize for not being able to include the entirety of her input into this conversation, but due to the sound issues that we ran into, we are choosing to leave that out of this podcast. We again very sorry to Rose and sorry to you for not being able to provide that to you. We just tried and tried to fix the audio, but just not able to have it at the level so that it is enjoyable to listen to. Please stay tuned, and we will continue the conversation with as much of the usable audio as we can include at this point. Thank you for listening. Yeah, your audio is not that great, Rose.
Well, you didn't hear me say I didn't like it.
No. I mean, I heard bits and pieces of it, but there was just kind of a I don't know how to describe it, but just kind of a weird breaking up kind of noise.
I'm not going to have to say that all over again.
No.
Oh. Sorry. I have my phone on speaker. Don't know what else to.
Now you sound fine. That's funny.
Oh. It is funny.
Yeah. It was just when you were going through your description.
Ah. Okay.
It's just the critical part.
The most important part.
The meat and potatoes of the whole thing.
It's completely unintelligible.
Great.
It's like a Forrest Gump moment where you're like, and that's all I got to say about that.
Awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. I love it. I can do it again if you want. Take two. The movie sucked. Okay.
So basically what I caught was the muscular guy was about the saving grace.
The music and the hunky guy.
The hunky guy.
Yeah.
So I think Sam J. Jones would probably be very happy to hear you call him the hunky guy.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, his career really didn't take off for much. I mean, he kind of rode the, he's still kind of riding that wave because he knows that's what he's known for. In a fun way. Like, you see movies like Ted, you know, he reprises his role in that movie as Flash Gordon, or as the actor that played Flash Gordon, you know, so, he has fun with it.
I think I saw, and I'm not sure, I could be just, like, remembering something that didn't happen, but
there was one. It up, basically.
Yeah, I could be doing that.
Okay,
but
cool.
There was one of the Comic Cons that I almost went to. I can't remember who it was, but it's Seattle or the one in Tacoma. And I remember seeing his name on the guest list and saying out loud to myself, "What? Seriously? What?"
What? Like, as like, who is this guy, or what? Because he's there.
Like, yeah. It's like, what? Okay. No, if you say so. Hard pass on that one. But,
yeah. Yeah, you know, I feel kind of, I want to say I feel kind of bad because I've been there where I've gone to comic book shows and I've seen the actors that have, you know, done movies like this, and then that's about all they really get known for. Like when you're walking around and you see like Lou Ferrigno. He's a nice enough guy, and you could write up and talk to him, but it's not like you've got to pay, like, the $30, $40 just to stand in line to meet him. You can kind of just kind of walk up to his table because there's not a ton of people hanging around wanting to talk to Lou Ferrigno. So I would think the same thing here with Sam J. Jones, where you kind of, like, you can just kind of, you know, walk up and chat with him for a few minutes, and, you know, he wouldn't mind.
Right. Who's the guy that was in...
I would totally love to talk to Lou Ferrigno.
I would totally talk to Lou Ferrigno.
I agree.
Kind of a cultural icon.
Huh. Yeah, definitely.
But I've seen it. Like, you know, like even Ernie Hudson from the Ghostbusters. You know, you're walking along, and I think, oh my God, there's Ernie Hudson. And I'm like, you know, I think it's like a major star. but there's not like a huge line, you know. But then you've got other people like, all the cast from Star Trek, you know, and then there's people that are wrapping lines all the way around the comic book show just to go talk to those guys. And you're kind of and you're like, but Ernie Hudson's right there. Lou Ferrigno's right there. Why aren't you guys talking to them? You know, and I'm like, come on. You know, you guys are, you know, spending time with the wrong people, but whatever. Ceremony.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The guy from Walking Dead, the one that I can never remember his name for some reason.
Norman Reedus?
Thank you. Yeah, I almost ran into him, literally. It's kind of short. But
with a car?
No, with my body.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't watching where I was going, and he had two massively towering bodyguards to say, hey, pay attention. And I was like,
oops.
It sounds like, mom. You pay attention. Shit. Anyway, so that guy is the comic card. Yeah, $200.
Wow.
$200
for
a greet, selfie, the whole package. People were like lined up. They had the rope. It was like how many damn people were standing in line waiting to talk to him. And I'm like, I'm looking right at the guy. Hey, how's it going? I almost ran into you. Yeah, we're close. Yeah, I'm done. I'm done. I don't know about you, but, you know, I've seen everything now. So I'm just, you know, I think it's just your level of loyalty as a fan and how much shit you're willing to put up with to get to this person.
Yeah, definitely.
No, and Lou Ferrigno, Ernie Hudson, people like that, you know, you're like, oh, you're like me with them. You're like, oh, yeah, I saw that guy. You know, and, oh, but this guy. This guy's the shit, you know, because he's relevant.
Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah.
You know, I find it a little funny that Flash Gordon here now is immortalized with this feathery 80s hairdo.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at action figures online and stuff, and they all have this little feathered blonde 80s hair. And I'm like, no, it's just not holding up that well. It's just screaming like Hardy Boys or something. Sean Cassidy, you know?
Oh, my God.
Well, it was 1980, so we were, like, as we wrapped up the 70s.
Right. They should have, like, thought of some way to give him a more enduring kind of look, I think.
Yeah. I went to school with a guy in California. His name was Rick. Can't remember the last name. Father had a lot of money. He drove a Camaro. Too tight t-shirt. I mean, picture this if you can. This t-shirt is like one size smaller than it needed to be. Okay. He had the jeans on, the hip hugger jeans with the flares, puka shells around the neck, and the hair that just went on. He could have been in a Farrah Fawcett beauty contest and he would have won. How gorgeous.
I remember those guys. I do.
You know, and it's just like, how do you rate? You know, it's like, I can't get my hair to do that.
So, Scott, I don't think I mentioned I didn't ask you, what was your like favorite scene? Cause it sounds like you and I kind of, you know, really relate to this movie.
So the scene, you mentioned two scenes that were something that always stood out to me, was the scene where they had to put their hand in that stump and wait for the stinger animal thing to get them or whatever. I always thought that was really an intense situation. Sorry, I'm fighting a little bit of a cold, so I had to mute myself for a cough there.
Got it.
Cough button.
The cough button.
Anyway, and then the scene where I can't remember who it was. Who had the eyes bulging?
Clytus.
That was like Ming's henchman.
Yes.
The main henchman guy. He had the mask on.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And he falls into this pit with these spikes.
Right.
And he dies, and they show the face of the mask, and his eyes like bulge out of the mask, and it was one of the freakiest scenes that I recall in my youth. Like, it really, that one moment always stuck with me. I can still see it to this day. I can see that scene, and it still freaks me out, the way the eyes are bulging out of that mask that he's wearing. And when you mentioned that, it brought me right back. So it kind of freaks me out. And which is weird, because this movie was almost focused towards a younger audience, but there's a few moments in it. I mean, for one, Ming was trying to get what's her name, Dale Arden, Melody Anderson, the actress, as his concubine. So like, he was trying to make, really, no, that's,
yeah,
that's,
yeah, like, that actually did happen. He was trying to marry her, yeah, so that he could be
he was trying to make her his sex slave, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So, which is not really a kid thing, but they made this whole thing almost almost like friendly towards kids on one end, but at the other end, they were, you know, they kind of threw some things in there that were not really, really kid friendly. Because, I mean, this came out in 1980, and my brother watched it. I was only 12 in 1980, which makes my brother, he's 5 years younger than me. He was only, like, you know, 7, possibly 8. He's, like, almost 5 years younger. So, you know, if they're watching it at that age, I don't know. I don't know if he ever even got that part of it, that it was a concubine situation. It's human trafficking in a weird,
right, not
futuristic sci-fi way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go that direction.
No, I never even thought about it in that light. But you're right. That was kind of
only
the...
because I read the synopsis, and it said something about him wanting to make that character his concubine. So.
Yeah.
Weird.
No. Yeah, even was having her take like some sort of liquid that would help her a little more suggestive to his will.
Oh, right.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah.
It's called tequila. Because, you know, it makes your clothes fall off, right? Yeah.
Actually, I think they called it Jägermeister. It could be wrong.
They went with Jäger. No, Jäger wasn't even around back then, man.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So that's our time for this particular episode. We really do appreciate everybody taking a listen. And this is me just reminding you that we have a website out there. That's BanzaiRetroClub.com, BanzaiRetroClub.com. Go on that, and you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, all that kind of good jazz, so please do that. If you get a chance to check out Suzanne's blog, that's SuzanneMattaboni.com. Last time I tried to do that, I spelt it wrong. So, Suzanne, you want to do the honors?
S-U-Z-A-N-N-E. MattaBoni.
See, I think I added an extra N at the end.
Sorry.
Two T's, one B, one N.
There you go. And we actually all have different Twitter accounts that we take care of. So, Rose, what's yours?
I got my 80s music girl.
Very cool. Scott?
At 80s auto reverse.
And Suzanne?
Twitter is Suze Mattaboni. Instagram is Suzanne Mattaboni 80s.
Cool. And I take care of our Banzai Retro Club account, so that's just the name, Banzai Retro Club. We do appreciate everybody listening, and as always, we like to remind you to be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Bye-bye.
Chup, chup, cheerio.
Bye.
This has been a Banzai Retro Club production. Banzai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Banzai!
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 Banzai!